You're very welcome back. You listen to News Talk 106.2-108. Do get in touch with the show by texting us on 53106 at a cost of 30 cents. Love and Courage is a new podcast that features one-hour soulful audio interviews with inspirational people. The list of contributors includes legendary folk musician Christy Moore, Sister Stan, Katie Kelly, Eamon Stack, Professor Ivor Brown, and even myself. I'm so mortified for saying that. Rory McKiernan is the host, and many of you will know him as the founder of Spun Out and, of course, Hitching for Hope as well. Rory, you're very welcome to Global Village.
Thank you very much, Dil. Great to see you again.
Yeah. I always feel very embarrassed when you talk about something where I play a small part in. But yeah. I think
we'll get over it.
Yeah, we'll get over it.
Yeah. Right. Own it.
Yeah. Now, Rory, I've followed you for years. You're just brilliant, right? You've gone from, you know, setting up Spun Out, Hitching for Hope. I mean, you're a communications guru. And now, podcasting. Well, where did the idea come from?
Podcasting, I suppose in one way, I'm late to the party, really. Every second guy and his dog has a podcast these days. But I've been interested in media for a long time, and I've been engaging with the media for a long time. But I've been feeling that there's a gap in terms of decent dialogue, slow dialogue, slow conversations where we get to talk to each other, hear from each other, learn from each other. And I'm privileged in the sense that I get to do that in the course of my day-to-day life. And I meet the most phenomenal people. I always say that I'm not the most wealthy person in financial terms, far from it. But I'm a very, very wealthy person in the richness of people in my life. And the type of people, you know what it's like when you get involved in community work or social justice. You just find these gems, and some of them are well known and some of them are not. And what I found that typically those types of people, including yourself, would have in common is what Joseph Campbell referred to as the hero's journey, which is this sort of cathartic journey that people go on where, and it's the journey that everybody's on in one way, where you're met with great adversity or a challenge or a call comes to you, whether you're young or middle-aged or old. And it's up to you to how do you respond to those challenges, whether they're great financial challenges, great health challenges, great relationship challenges, great injustices. And typically the hero is somebody who will go on and respond to go on the adventure, the quest to overcome the challenge. And that's what a lot of great books are based on, a lot of great movies. All the Harry Potter stuff is based on that, Lord of the Rings, and probably your life as well. And those people that don't know your own story, obviously, you're not going to tell it here on air, but it's not for me to say. But that's why I went and interviewed you, because I did know your story, but didn't know it all. And so we got an hour to sit down, and it's not really me talking as much; it's more about the guest. And just to be brought back to your early life in Italy and Sri Lanka, and to hear you're great in terms of how you hold yourself and something very lighthearted, but you have overcome a lot. And so many people we know, we both do some work with Suicide or Survive.
Oh, great organisation.
And different mental health organisations and causes and campaigns.
Who doesn't love Caroline McGuigan?
Yeah, exactly. And Caroline's another example of that. People have just really overcome the darkness. I've gone off, but I'm coming back now. I wanted to share this wisdom with the world, and I felt that podcasts were a great way of doing it. And they're independently created. They don't cost a lot of money to create. I get to reach thousands of people. I get to go to their homes, interview them there. And so far, it's just been a fantastic journey. I only launched it several weeks ago, but so far, there's people all over the world, including North Korea and Bolivia, listening to the podcast. And it's just very exciting. Yeah.
And I have to say, I really enjoyed chatting to you. And for me, I actually skipped therapy that week because I thought, I don't need it this week. I spoke to Rory McInnes, so you saved me 70 quid. Thanks very much. I know.
Now you're probably thinking, I'll go halves on with you.
You're going to say something. But tell me about your journey, because there has to be something that makes you, because for as long as I've known you, you've always gravitated towards making a difference. I'm sure you've gone through a journey yourself to get to this point.
Yeah, still on it. It's by no means over. Yesterday, I had a particularly a kind of funny patch on the journey. A friend of mine talks about weather patterns where the dark clouds come in and then the dark clouds leave and next thing the sun shines there. And yesterday I just had a woeful day and I just took on too much. And it's a constant part of my journey. And a lot of people involved in anything to do with caring profession or social activism, they typically give a lot to the community. And in some ways, there's an inbuilt insanity in that. But they don't often save enough for themselves. And that's a repetitive cycle in my journey. And yesterday, and it wasn't for my good wife and the jumping in the sea at Dollymount, I was able to get myself out of it and really did a whole 180 in a matter of hours. But
this was yesterday.
This is just yesterday. Yeah, yeah. I just had a really, really bad day. And I mean really bad, really bad, where I was staring at a laptop for hours and nothing would happen. And I essentially remembered that I hadn't been looking after myself. And a lot of my work is around self-care and mental health. And in terms of where it's all come
how
out...
How ironic is that?
Like, I know. Well, you know, they say you teach what you need to learn, ultimately. And I suppose in me seeking to share the wisdom of people like yourself or Frances Black or Sister Stan, it's also me seeking out that wisdom. And a lot of my journey has been, I suppose, a lot of turbulence in my late teens or early 20s. In the same way a lot of Irish young people do, they go a bit too hard on the drinking and they quite often lose themselves. And a lot of people never get to find themselves again or maybe have a moment in their 50s, 60s or at their deathbed. And I was fortunate that when I was 19, I ended up in hospital. And I say I'm fortunate, but I lost half my blood in a liver, or not a liver, sorry, a burst stomach ulcer, and had a blood transfusion at university in Scotland. And it was a bit of an early wake up call and decided, finished up college, went traveling all around the world and embarked on this kind of quest to think there has to be more to life than just serving the corporate machine. And I had worked for multinationals and I get that multinationals have their place. I get that the economics has its place, but I suppose I've always been on this quest for the meaning of life, really. And I love the way that in some Native American cultures, they refer to it as the great mystery. And I think I will always refer to it as a great mystery because I don't think I'm ever going to figure out what the meaning of life is. But if there's anything that I have realized, it's about connection. It's about connection to yourself, an awareness that we're each here for a reason. We each have something unique to contribute. And an awareness that we have the right to enjoy life as well, but also a responsibility and a connection to community, to the greater community around us, to friends, to family, to the national community and to the global community. And obviously you're called Global Village.
Yes!
But I would add another layer to that. I would say that there's a planetary connection as well. And jumping in the sea last night, I really felt that, you know, and there's a saying that we'll never have peace on earth until we have peace with the earth. And I would like to see that we, at some level, politically, economically, spiritually and otherwise, re-find a connection to living with the earth. And I think it's a key to sorting out a lot of the mental health and stress challenges, and also key to sorting out a lot of economic challenges, that there can be good business in looking after the planet, where you, if we talk about it as Mother Earth, well, don't destroy your mother.
And this is the thing, and unfortunately we're doing so much of it. Because going back to the meaning of life, it's a quote from Viktor Frankl, who says, the meaning of life is to live a life of meaning. And when I came across that quote a few years back, it just made sense to me, because I don't know, for as long as I remember, even my parents will say this, that as a child I would go around the house saying, offering to help to strangers, can I help, you know, and there was this need in me to help. So I think that can really help a person's mental health, because you feel so good when you do that. But going back to what you were saying about you've had an incredible journey. And I think that's why you have gravitated towards people like Sister Stan and Frances Black, because you know how much it takes to go from a place of darkness to a place of light. But you're so honest to say that it's not, once you get there, you know, the hard times are behind you, but it is, you know, good days and bad days.
Yeah, if you look into that hero's journey cycle, ultimately it's never finished. You go at the end of the cycle, you conquer the great dragon and you bring the gold back to the village. We're back to the global village again. But in the theory that Joseph Campbell developed, the hero then sets about going on the journey again and again and again. And you will find that with Mary Robinson, Nelson Mandela, or anybody that's ever done anything in their life, or people who admire sports people or celebrities or people that have achieved things, they've all started out at some level the same as you or I, and they've conquered demons. And I just think that we need to have much more open conversation beyond mental health. I think we need to be talking about almost soul health, to take it up to the next level and go, well, why the hell are we here, and what are we going to do? Like, is our life just about waking up at 7 a.m., dragging ourselves out the door and pushing ourselves into work and paying off a mortgage and hoping that at some level we'll get to retire and enjoy a bit of life? But like, life is now. It's this moment. It's precious. We need to seize it. And yeah, you're right. I am attracted to these people that can see that. And I want to celebrate them. I want to share their wisdom. I want to play a part in all that. But mostly what I want more than anything is for other people and all people to see the divinity and see the magic, see the power that they have within themselves to truly live great lives that can be great for themselves, but also their country. And I think there's an innate potential in this country, and it is a great country, but it's far from realised. And we see that in the lack of leadership that we have in so many facets of life, because fundamentally, there's a lack of self-belief somewhere in the Irish psyche that believes we're not good enough, or believes we can't be a great country or one of the best countries in Europe. And I think we need to look at that at an individual level. And I can't do that for people, but hopefully we can provoke that conversation.
But how you started the conversation was saying you are surrounded, you're rich when it comes to the inspirational people in your life, not as in rich from a financial point of view. But isn't it so sad that that you're an anomaly? You know, like if you were to take other guys your age, you know, people, they'll be there with their big cars and their big mortgage and, you know, and the big jobs. And they think that they're successful. But the reality is, if you take all those things away, overnight, if something was to happen and this person who was deemed successful would lose it all, they would fall to pieces. But from your perspective, you have a richness that, you know, because after all, when we die, we can't take any of this away. But you have the sense I get from you is that you feel you have a huge sense of contentment. And I think that's what we need to get Irish people to maybe look at. What does success really mean? What does contentment really mean? Is it material things, or is it just, you know, the experiences that you have, you know, opening yourself up to meeting amazing people and learning from other people? How can we do that, Rory? How can we get people to just not get invest so much in this idea of what being successful is, and just maybe be in the moment and maybe open themselves up to less monetary driven, I suppose, efforts?
I think one of the most important questions anybody can ask themselves is, if they're on, or imagine, maybe take a moment to imagine yourself on your deathbed, and you're 85 or 95, and you look back on your life and ask, what did I do with it? And how did I live it? And was I healthy? Was I happy? Did I support my family? Did I do well at work? So on and so forth. And that can be a kind of a sobering task. And there's a woman who did a study with people on their deathbeds, and she found that some of the top regrets of the dying were that they worked too much and their model of success was flawed ultimately. And obviously we have to work, and I have to work, and I work very hard. I work 60 hours a week or whatever it is, I'm not sure. But I do think we need to go back to that question, success, and redefine it. And part of how we do that is with the education system. And right now it's an industrialized production line that feeds people into an economy that is a one-way street into servitude in some ways. And very few people escape that and get out and, you know, pay off their mortgage happily and have their health intact and so on. And I'm not judging anybody for how they live their lives. Many people are better at navigating this territory than I am. But I do think we need to take a pause in how we educate and support our young people and define success as living a healthy life, living a decent life, living a life in service to others, respecting the planet around you. And from that point forward, I think we can build happiness, we can have better leaders, and we can have a better country.
And before we run out of time, the reason why you came on the show is talk about the love and courage. And I feel we've talked about everything.
Well, you just asked me the meaning of life, so we got sidetracked.
I know, but Rory, you have this effect of every time I speak to you. You're like, I was like, there's so much wisdom in you for someone who's still so young. So tell me, love and courage. Where can people get there?
Okay,
hear it?
So,
and then of course, you're also looking for donations because it's so good. Because I listened to a number of the episodes. It's so good, and I feel we need to keep it going.
Oh, thanks. Well, I'm fortunate in that a few people have come on board as patrons and they're chipping in a small amount monthly. One person chipping in a decent amount, and that's paying for some of the basic costs involved. So that's great. But it is available for free. And anyone with an iPhone has a podcast app on their phone. They just look for Love and Courage and subscribe on that. And please give me a rating or review. It really helps. And if you don't have an iPhone, I have another smartphone. Go and download a podcast app such as Podcast Addict. Search for Love and Courage, or you can go to loveandcourage.org.
And where would you like this this new venture of yours to go?
Well, tomorrow it will be at Body and Soul Music Festival, where I'll be on stage interviewing Joe Caslin, the artist, and Senator Lynn Rowan. So the podcast is already bringing me to interesting places. So that's going to be a live interview.
I think my producer is going to be there.
Okay, good.
I'm very jealous of her.
I'll keep an eye on her for you. And where do I want it to go? Dale, to be honest with you, I've been involved in setting up a few organisations in the past. I've done business plans. I have a degree in business. I understand how to get things developed, but I've decided not to have a plan around Love and Courage and to let it bring me where it needs to bring me.
Oh, that sounds wonderful.
It's a great mystery.
How liberating.
We'll see.
Well, listen, Rory McKiernan, always an absolute pleasure. I feel enlightened and grounded after my chat with you. So and of course the next episode every Monday, isn't it, a new episode comes out?
Yeah, Sunday night or Monday, but I have put my interview with you up live in honour of being online. I know, and I'm telling everybody listening, Dil did not know anything about this, but
no,
I decided to time it this way.
I didn't.
So go, and if you don't know Dil's remarkable life story, please go and listen to it, because it's great.
Okay.
I know, she's turning red here.
Yeah,
but
please. All right, my thanks to Rory McKiernan, host of Love and Courage, and of course, founder of Spanout, and just overall wonderful human being. Thank you for joining us here on Global Village.
A pleasure. Thanks, Dil.
For God's sake, Rory!
Look!
Mortified!
Look.
Well, we reached the end of the show. Hope you enjoyed it as much as we did putting it together for you. If you'd like to listen back, you can do so by clicking on the Listen Back feature or by podcasting the show by going to newstalk.com. A big thank you to all our guests and, of course, our producer, Amy Ryan. And coming up next is All About It with the Green Room. So all that's left for me to say till next week is, again, happy Pride, and reminding you that we're all part of a global village.